Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news.
You packed your bags and shut the door. You crossed the sea in a final war. You didn't know just what would happen to you. Stepped in the dirt, boots on the ground, and gunfire was the only sound. And to yourself you whispered, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back?
I just wanna let you know. Yeah, get off of my back and into my game. Get out of my way and I
Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
All right, here we are, and this makes it easier. I've got the 64K server is no longer, and this makes it a little faster, a little smoother to get on the air here, not having to keep up with two servers. So hopefully the 32 will keep up with everything that we need to do, and it'll be fine. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 17th of July, and it's a Wednesday. So we've got a few gun-related things to talk about tonight. Let me bounce over here to the chat room like always and check and see that everything's working. Mountain Shooter, you said your ears will never be the same again. What happened? The time you said that was 2 minutes after nine. Was it something I played that, I don't know what happened here. Let's see, Yakima Glock is in there and pretty short on chat room participants tonight, but that's okay. The one thing I want to talk about here in a little while is the concept of something it's not the motto of the Marines, but it's a saying anyway about, what do they say, every man a rifleman or every Marine a rifleman or something like that. So we're going to discuss that concept here in a little while. So, first thing we got here, thank you, Yakima Glock, I appreciate that. And I saw your profile picture in there. Yeah. Thank you, the Tinker. Yeah. I hope this other stuff, I see the Tinker's already been on top of it here and taken the other player off so there's no confusion. So I think this is going to run smoother. It's going to be all right. We'll try it, see what it's like here. Okay, this first story has nothing to do with anything, but I thought I'd throw it out there anyway, just for the heck of it. This one, for some reason my mouse keeps stopping here. I think the batteries are getting low. Can use the other one here, I guess. There we go. Yeah, we can do that. Anyway, the deal won't scroll down here. Naturally, we've got stuff here from popped up. You know what I can do? I can bring this story up on my phone. I'll do that. The other one I think is okay. But let me pop this one up here, and that might make things easier. Florida. No, Florida gets a lot of attention. We do stories every single show, something going on in Florida. Well, this was a little unpleasant here for one of these guys. Apparently, this guy is, he's in jail now. Apparently, he found out who his wife's lover was and kind of took exception to the whole concept of that happening. So he went to the guy's house, broke in on a Sunday morning about 11 o'clock. I guess this was last Sunday. And took a pair of scissors, tied the guy up, took a pair of scissors, and, The relationship with this guy and the other guy's wife is just not ever going to be exactly the same. He was, think back a few years and think about Lorena Bobbitt. This guy would be a perfect match for Lorena Bobbitt. And the other guy, well, so we'll just leave that one right there for you, and let you think about that. All right, let's go on here. The one of the things we were talking about, Mountain Shooter, what's your, you said your ears would never be the same. What happened? Did I do something wrong when we started here? Or maybe you heard something else that was going on. Maybe you didn't hear what I said because you said you were hearing truck and stuff, so you must have had it tuned into something else. Anyhow, we discussed this a little bit the other night, and not in the depth that I wanted to, or that I'm going to do it from a little bit different angle tonight. I've always heard this, you know, my whole life about the Marine thing, and I don't remember which one it is, whether it's, you know, every Marine a rifleman or every man a rifleman, whatever it is. There's female Marines too, so maybe it's every Marine a rifleman. Either way, it doesn't make any difference, but I got to thinking about that and the importance of it, because if we haven't got every Marine out there, or every soldier, everybody that knows how to efficiently operate that rifle in any condition, if it malfunctions, they need to know how to clear it. If it runs out of ammo, they need to know how to reload it. They need to know how to charge it and get it going. Break it down, clean it, and have all. It doesn't mean that everyone has to be some type of a gun expert. It means that you have one tool here, whether it's a skill saw or a drill or a weed eater or a piano or whatever it is. You need to know how to operate it, especially if your life depends on it, if your livelihood depends on it. You need to know how to operate that tool. And I don't mean just barely get by with it. You need to be intimately familiar with it and what it does. So in my mind, to become what I would consider a rifleman, now I don't know what the Marines, you know, what their thing is, but it's to take their one service rifle and be able to operate it. But in my mind, a rifleman should be someone who can pick up, is familiar enough with the workings and actions and how the weapon actually works, to pick up any rifle, barring maybe some of these newer electronic triggered smart rifles, battery operated, whatever in the hell, but any conventional rifle, and operate it and run it and get it loaded and get it in operation and in a maximum of 5 shots, preferably 3, be able to double check and see how well it's sighted in to where you can hit a man-sized target out to, you know, at least a couple hundred yards. Now, if you're going to go much farther than that, you may need to take just a little bit more time sighting it in. But you should be able to pick up a rifle, any rifle, with a very minimal amount of knowledge of ballistics and sight that rifle in at 50 yards. Let me rephrase that. If you're a rifleman, you should be able to fire one shot, and if it feels good, you'll know if it feels good. You know, if you did everything right, press that trigger just right, your breathing, your movement, your everything feels good, and you fire one shot, you should be able to make a quick adjustment on that, fire a second shot, fine-tune it just a little, and fire a third shot and get it accurate enough to hit a man-sized target. That's not really sighting it in. It's being in a hurry. It's conserving ammo. It's a limited distance to work in. And we're getting it where it's usable. And a rifleman should be able to do that in three shots. Like I said, that's not, you're not going to win the Wimbledon Cup, you know, or whatever, with sighting it in that manner. I think I told you all the story before. I bought a, I bought a 22 Magnum, a 10-inch 22 Magnum barrel for my contender. And I was going to shoot in the Georgia State Championships the next day. I bought that barrel on a Friday. And I was going to go to the Georgia State Championships the next day. I had no place to go. It was in the afternoon. I said, well, what's the worst I can do? Lose my entry fees. And I stopped at a little store and got a scope and put on it. And I set out on the back deck of my house in Lithonia, Georgia. And bore sighted it on a milk jug laying on the bank on the other side of a little pond, a little lake there, about 200 yards away. Never fired a shot through it. Went to the Georgia State Championships the next day and won my class with the bore-sighted gun, having never fired a single shot through that barrel. You should be able to take a rifle and make sure everything's to where, I don't care whether it's open-sighted, whether it's scoped, whether whatever. Make sure everything's tight and operational. And in three shots, you should get what would be considered combat accurate. Hit a man-sized target out to a couple hundred yards. When you have time, when you have, the ammo and the distance to do it, then, yeah, sure. Get out there at 200 and double-check everything and make any fine-tune adjustments you need to. But if you take virtually any rifle that fires in, let's say, 2,800 feet a second or so, 28, 29. I don't know exactly what that is, and you maybe even go down to 27. But if you sight that right on at 50 yards, you will be on again at 200. I'm sure we've talked about this at some point before, but I'm going to refresh your memory and tell anybody that hasn't heard this that about it. So now you can, if you're really limited for space and you have to, you can sight that gun in at 10 yards. Actually, you can bore sight it. I don't know in a combat situation, unless I really had to, if I was really pushed, I don't know if I'd want to trust bore sighting it to be effective enough. If I have the time, I might want to bore sight it first and then fire, and hope I would have the time and the space. You know, there may have to observe noise discipline and whatnot. Maybe I wouldn't be able to do that. But if I was able to fire at least one shot through it just to double check it. Now, understand again that this is not how you do it. This is not how, people go out and sight in guns and would, take a box of shells to do it. And that's okay. You want to fine tune it. You want to get it close at 25 or 50 yards or whatever and move it on out to 200 or whatever your desired sight in distance is. And you want to get that right on the money. And it may take several rounds. I'm talking about picking up a rifle that you've never seen and never shot before, or one that was maybe, dropped or whatever the case may be, but you're not sure of it. And under the worst conditions, you're able to shoot three times and be comfortable enough, confident enough in your abilities to use that gun in a combat situation. If you're going to sight that in at close range, even at 50 yards, but not so much, but especially at 10, if you're going to do it at 10, there's a couple of things you need to keep in mind. If it has a scope on it, you don't want to zero it at 10 yards. Your scope is going to be, depending on what kind of gun it is, you're going to be at least an inch and a half over the bore, the scope over the bore of the gun. And if you are only 30 feet away from your target and you zero that at 10 yards, at 30 feet, you're going to be way in the hell high when you get on out there a ways. So you want to zero it, if you will, at about, if you've got an inch and a half over the bore, you want to zero that gun where it's hitting 1 inch under your point of aim, your point of aim. Where the crosshairs are hitting on the paper, you want your group to be 1 inch below that. And that'll get you really, really close at 200 yards. If you were to take an AR-15, a conventional AR-15 with a carry handle on it and the scope on that carry handle, and you try to zero it at 10 yards, you are going to have no luck. You will not hit a man at 200 yards, I absolutely promise you. You won't even scare him very bad. So take that height into account when you're shooting at real close range like that. The other thing at close range is to be sure that you are extra careful, because at 10 yards, even at 50 yards to some degree, but at 10 yards, you'll look and say, wow, that's pretty dang good. I can cover all five of those shots with a dime. Well, that doesn't mean anything, really. When you can cover all five of those shots with a dime at 200, now you've done something. Even at 100, that's good, really good. But at 10 yards, if we, you kind of look at this like a flashlight beam, where you hold the flashlight right up against the wall and you got a nice little circle about an inch, 2 inches in diameter. And if you back away from the wall about 10 feet, you find out that your circle now is 2 feet in diameter. Well, that's kind of what your flight of your bullet does. If it's a half inch at 10 yards, theoretically you're going to be an inch at 20 yards. That's going to be 5 inches at 100 yards. So you need to make sure and be extra cautious. Exercise all of those fundamentals, trigger press, breathing, follow through, and all that, and get your bullets stacked one right on top of the other. When you make a single ragged hole at 10 yards, which you should, then you'll have something to work with when you get out there at 100 or 200. But if you think you're doing good by making a half-inch group at 10 yards, you're not. You're not a rifleman. You don't understand the concept of the flight of the bullet and the workings of this gun. And way too many people think that's okay. If you're going to be a rifleman, you've got to eat, sleep, live with that gun and fire, countless thousands of rounds through different weapons so that you have a, what's the proper term for that? We'll just call it muscle memory, a habit where you pick up a rifle, lever action, bolt action, pump, semi-automatic, single shot, break open, lever action, single shot, whatever it may be, you should be able to at a glance tell, okay, this is, I see what this is. I can get it to work in most Ricky Tick here. And the reason this has come up right now is I think that we're in a time when we need to spend a lot less time worrying about gadgets and the latest little trinket that you saw in Guns and Ammo magazine or whatever, and you need to take what you've got and you've learned how to run it and be prepared to use that in defense of liberty, in defense of your nation, your community, your family. And I know I can't even imagine how many people that claim to be shooters that are until you get out shooting. There's too many beer joint marksmen out there that when they're pressed to prove their prowess with the gun, just doesn't work out all that well.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Let's talk about this just a little bit more. Let me get over here first and see. Doc, I know that feeling. I gave it up permanently, but yeah, I know what you mean. There were a few times there that I experienced that 5 minutes you're talking about. So, let's see, where were we at? We're talking about, I guess, it, I have to understand that not everyone was raised like I was, you know. A lot of people were. I know Tebow was. I'm sure Doc was. I'm sure Yakima Gog, most people on the chat room, I'm sure all were. But when we look at people nowadays, especially the younger group, everything is so regimented, so regulated in the things that they do with guns. And when I grew up, they were just like the pocket knife. I mean, everybody had one. Everybody carried one. We went anywhere, anytime, with anybody, for any reason. We had a rifle with us all the time. It was not whether, you know, Mom, can I take my gun, or should I take one up there this time? We're not going to be talking about going up on the mountain or wherever. We just did. You didn't ask. You didn't consider it unless you'd done something to be grounded from it or something. It was just a matter of, yes, we're going to take a cooler full of water or, you know, canteen or a Clorox bottle full of water or whatever it was we were taking. Yes, we're going to take some snacks of some kind. Yes, we're going to have gas in the truck. Yes, I'm going to wear boots. Yes, I've got a hat. And, yes, I'm taking my rifle. And it was no big deal. We didn't even consider not taking it. And I think that has made a immense difference in, there's a generational difference, a generational gap here in in the gun world or the, my son was raised that way. You know, Wes, he started when he was way young, started shooting, and he's like I was when I was his age. I guess he's 20 now. No, he's older than that. 21, 22, something. And Doc, that's a good point. We'll get to that in a second, but well, let's talk about Doc's comment there a little bit. He says, on a serious note, you never stop learning to be a marksman. That's a fact. There's always a, even if you pick up little things on your own, you listen to other people, you watch other people, you, things, whether it has to do with wind, uphill and downhill shooting, mirage, elevation, temperature, barometric pressure, humidity, you know, just any number of things. And if you've learned all of everything that you think you know about any one of those topics, lo and behold, you'll be messing around one day doing something and up will pop up something you never thought about before. So, yeah, you never learn, you never quit learning that. You'll different things with different scopes or different sights or, you know, the weight of the bullet, the length of the bullet, the speed of the bullet and the number, the rotational, you know, the RPMs of the bullet. I mean, so many things that, it is absolutely impossible to cram all that stuff into one lifetime. You can take old timers that's been doing this professionally for years and years and years. And once in a while, somebody will come up out of the blue with some little hint or a question that they'd never thought of before. Well, I don't know. Let's try it out. Let's check it out and see. So this is that, and that's probably what I'm alluding to here in some manner. is too many people think they know how to shoot, and they have, as we talked about on the show the other night, they just don't know what they don't know yet. And when they get to that point where they start wondering what it is they don't know, I don't know that. What, I never knew there was that much to it. We talked about this Monday quite a bit. So, I guess this has become very urgent for me recently, because I am seeing the need, the potential need for the American rifleman once again. Before, it was a matter of, you know, well, you are or you ain't, you know, so what? It doesn't matter one whether you either bring home your deer or you don't. But now we're talking about the defense of our community, our loved ones, liberty itself. And to a very large degree, the rifleman is going to be a big part of that, a determining factor. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So, I think instead of running out every time you see a new ad for something cool, and running out and getting something that you don't need, that you already have a dozen of, but this one's a different color, or it's got a different name, or something, you know, just let it go. Take that money and buy ammo. Take that money and get replace that scope that's been off here for a while. Take that money and get a collapsible stock for your AK, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Instead of continuing incessantly to buy guns. It's not a bad thing to have a bunch of guns, but I think you've got to look at, you know, several times I've said, make sure, if you're going to continue to get stuff like that, make sure that your medical stuff is squared away, that your, you know, alternative power sources are squared away, that your EMP protection is squared away, that you've got enough food put back, and make sure everything else is good. If everything is what you consider to be at 100% readiness level, and go buy a new gun if you think you want one. But don't get it just because it's there, just because, you know, you happen to be able to afford it this month. If you can afford a new gun and you're lacking in your medical supplies, you are lacking in your diligence in being prepared. You're lacking in your your responsibility to your family. Priorities, yeah. Amy said, yeah, get your priorities in order. That's right. So, let's see. Let me look at what Doc's got going here. It's a tiny example, but a couple of weeks ago, my CAS club had their annual 4th of July barbecue and fun match. It's the only time of the year that you can shoot rifle caliber long guns instead of pistol caliber carbines. The only legal rifle I had was an old ugly Winchester 94 with iron sights and 30-30, but you could only shoot lead bullets and couldn't use a sling. So, and there, that is a very good example, Doc. You were pressed into something that's you typically not what you do with that gun, and you had to deal with it. And I know Doc is able to, without, there's no question in my mind. I've never met Doc personally, but I've spent enough time with him over the years on this chat room that I'm pretty confident that he's everything he says he is. Let's see, it was all standing offhand shooting, no sling. 8-inch steel targeted 100 yards. Yeah, very good. Did better in the middle of the pack, but it was a new experience for me. So you know why you did better than the middle of the pack, Doc? Because you're a rifleman. You know how to adapt and overcome. I know it's another Marine term, but I'm not a Marine. Never was. Never. Don't ever intend to be. But you know they've got some good training terms and stuff that they use, and that's one of them. And so Doc was pressed into something he's not used to doing, and he adapted and overcame, and wasn't the bottom of the heap when it was all when the smoke cleared there, so to speak. All right, well, let's get off of that. I'm wearing it out. I think what we'll do right now is this.
On the Chisholm Trail, it was midnight. Carmelo was strong on his mind. Because of the life he had chosen, Carmela had left him behind. Too long he'd been El Bandito. Carmela had left him alone. But today someone brought a message. She'd been seen in old San Antonio. Cross the Brazos at Waco. Ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos at Waco. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. He glanced back over his shoulder. The posse was nowhere in sight. It sent for Carmela to meet him on the banks of the Brazos tonight. She was waiting and he kept the promise he had made such a long time ago. As he dropped the guns that she hated in the muddy Brazos below. Cross the Brazos at Waco. Ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos at Waco. I'll walk straight in old San Antonio. Then the night came alive with gunfire. He knew that at last it'd been found. As the Rangers' badge showed brightly, El Bandito lay on the ground. Carmela knew he was dying, that all of her dreams were in vain. As she kissed his lips for the last time, she heard him whisper again. Cross the Brazos and Waco, ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos and Waco. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, let's finish this up. I've got a couple things I want to talk about real quick, and then I have another thing that popped up today that I want to bring up real quick. So we're doing everything real quick. Let's see. Let me make sure. I don't remember, Doc. I don't remember about Tony Soprano's wife, to tell you the truth. Yeah, Mountain Shooter. You got Chirp figured out. There's a little bit of a learning curve there. But once you get it, it's awesome. It's easy to switch back and forth between different manufacturers and models of radios. You can store all your stuff in files and just bring it up, throw it in there, and you can program radios just about as fast as you can push the buttons there. So, good deal. Like I said before, if you have any questions about it, don't hesitate to give me a holler. I'm fairly well acquainted with it. So, okay, a couple things I want to bring up here, and then we got another topic there. We have talked about this numerous times over the years. The San Luis Obispo police chief now has been disciplined for losing her personal weapon in a bathroom. How many times have we discussed people leaving their guns in bathrooms? Remember, we had the female TSA agent a few years ago left her weapon laying on the floor, Glock 22, laying on the floor in the bathroom in Atlanta at the airport in Atlanta, Georgia. We had the guy in Layton, Utah at Carl's Jr. was pulling his pants up and getting ready to leave and dropped his weapon. It went off and blew the toilet up. If you'll remember, the following Sunday, they had a memorial for John after that. John was the toilet that he killed. It hit the toilet and blew up, injured him a little bit, little pieces of ceramic stuff hit him in the leg. But anyway, so this has happened many, many times. And she was disciplined for this, although she's not going to miss any time. She is going to miss a little money. They're docking her $1,600, which they say is equivalent to 2 days off without pay. Now, if I'm understanding that right, that's $800 a day. That's good money. I wouldn't mind doing that for a while. But anyhow, we've talked about this, and I'll tell you again, this is what you learn in my concealed weapons class. If you have to go to the bathroom in a public bathroom, do not hang your weapon on the coat hook up at the top of the door for a couple of reasons. One of them is you have to stick something in that trigger guard. And if that weapon is loaded, you don't need to be sticking that hook in the trigger guard of that gun. You get in a hurry grabbing it off of there, or somebody else reaches over the top of the door to grab it or whatever, we could have a problem. You don't lay it on the floor. How stupid is that? People do that all the time. The guy in the next stall sits down and says, oh, wait, I don't have to go that bad. I'll just reach out and grab that gun and take off. What's the guy in the stall going to do? With your britches down around your ankles, how is it you're going to get out of there in time to catch this guy? So what do you do with it? You don't lay it on the back. You know, a lot of public restrooms, the toilets don't have tanks to lay it on anyway. There's just some plumbing back there, and there's no place to put it. You know, the best place to put it is, as silly as this sounds, when you're sitting there nice and comfortable and you're taking care of everything, if you look down between your knees, what do you see? There's a little nest right there. There's a little place where you can lay that weapon. I guarantee you, I promise you, you will not forget it, and you can take it, and the reason being that you have to do anything with it, because sometimes, depending on your holster, it's not only is it not too smart to do it while it's still holstered, because it may slip out, but it's a little bit inconvenient to, with all that weight hanging on one side, to get everything buckled up and put away like you're supposed to. So, anyway, that's my tip for the day. In New Jersey, the governor just signed a law there that says that dealers requiring them to carry these smart guns. Now, if you remember, New Jersey has had a law in place for that since 2002. The problem was that there was no such technology. So the licensed dealers are required to only sell handguns with user recognition technology on them, but that law has been suspended for 17 years because there's no such firearms on the market. Still yet to this day, in 2019, that doesn't exist. There were some, there's been some attempts, but not anything that's been totally successful. So he signed a new bill. He's a Democrat, if you hadn't figured that out, that replaces the old dormant law with one now that says it requires gun dealers carry at least one model in their stores should they become available in the future. Why is that any different than the last one? I have no clue. Anyway, that's what's going on in New Jersey right now. So, if you're a Facebooker, exactly, Doc, that's what I was just saying. You're exactly right. And you're also right, you're also right about that police chief. That she looks like a meth head herself, doesn't she? Wow, that is a scary looking woman. I just saw that when I was talking about it there a minute. Wow. Whew. So if you're a Facebooker, you may have run across here, and then there's this conspiracy thing has been going. It's not just Facebook, but you've seen it again recently about these, you know, they're just like the flat earthers. They believe that the space walk and all this stuff has never happened. And they say that Richard Nixon, how in the world do you talk to people on the moon from a landline in the White House? You know what? We've had that technology for a very, very long time. I jumped on some guys today. They had this thing on there. They even created a little meme that said, let's see, it says, I don't have it real handy here. Maybe it's right here. But he said, the meme says, here, I can get it. I got it. Says, I don't always call astronauts on the moon, but when I do, I use a landline. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. We have had the technology for using a landline to talk to radios. If you remember back in the old days, you know, they would patch me through. Well, they patched this from, we have called drilling rigs out in the middle of the ocean. No landline going out there, no cell phones. They hadn't been invented yet. But we talked to them via what they call radio telephone. I used to have one in my truck when I first started drilling. We had radio telephones in the truck. We would call the only bad thing about it is the people that you're talking to has to understand that you have to unkey the mic before they start talking or you won't hear them. So you're talking on a microphone just like a CB radio or a ham radio. They're talking on the telephone just like it was a telephone on account of it's just a telephone. It's not new, by golly. It's not. It's nothing that's, yeah, Doc says they used two cans and a 250,000-mile long string. Yeah, 283,000 miles, but who's counting? And it floors me. I said, what kind of flaming idiot thinks you can't call the moon from the White House or anywhere else, even in the 60s? I said, you idiots all in the third grade or what? And this guy comes on and says, you've got a lot of waking up to do. Really? I was talking on those phones when I was 19 years old. I'm 63 now, so that technology has been here for a while. And it wasn't brand new when I was talking on it. So if you ever get in that discussion with somebody, be assured and be confident that you will be correct if you say, yes, it is possible, and yes, he did. Just make sure that the astronaut unkeys the mic before President Nixon starts talking. That's all you got to do. It's that simple. Okay, well, it's amazing. There's so many idiots and not enough time, and they need more than 24 hours in a day. Okay, well, I've had just about all the fun I can stand. I'm going to start easing towards the door here in just a little bit. I like this one server thing. This is, makes things a lot easier. I'm liking it a lot. So we'll see how things go here towards the end of the month. Remember I told you the 31st of July was going to be the last shooting bench, the last everything, period, and pull the plug on it. But there's been some, there's been a few changes since then, and things are looking up in a manner of speaking, so that may change. All right, now we've got, let's see, this Friday, yeah, there's no reason, Liberty Lounge should be a happening thing, a live Liberty Lounge should be a happening thing coming up this Friday. So I had promised you that I was going to play something for you tonight, and I didn't because I got off on this other stuff. I might accidentally do it during Liberty Lounge, so we'll see what happens. Anyway, I appreciate you guys sticking with me tonight. I appreciate all you podcast listeners and everyone that listens live. And I think I'm going to scoot on out of here, and we'll see you guys Friday night for Liberty Lounge. Thank you for joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.